Murray real for? You were saying about this female agent.
Yes. She'd pass no crowd anywhere. Just a little black bag, sort of dull clothes. And you'd never believe she'd have all that courage. I think she was English.
How did you like doing this kind of special duties work as compared with the bombing operations that you had been doing before?
Oh, it was a tonic, particularly once I got the casualties down, because there was something, you weren't burning cities. I mean, it's an awful business, that business of setting lovely old towns alight. Sort of seeing Elizabethan type houses burning. And I never really believed in the bombing, but you had to do it, and it was the only thing you could do, I suppose. But here, you were giving them something to help them, and you were getting a result, and it was sort of building the situation up. So it was, from that point of view, very enjoyable. I don't think I could ever say that it was a particularly efficiently run organisation from the point of view of the agents, the SOE. I mean, I'm sure the training was all right, but I never really thought an awful lot about the management of the things.
In what way?
I'm just trying to remember. My adjutant, I remember once, there was something which I disagreed with entirely. I just can't remember what it was all about. And it was some instruction had come down from them, and it seemed to me to be completely ineffective or illogical. And Jaffe, it was his name, he said, those are direct instructions of what you've got to do. I said, well, this is nonsense, you know. I want to see these instructions. And he said, I'm sorry, sir, I have destroyed them. Because it said, destroy on reading, all this stuff. You know. So, they were a bit like that.
If you could refer to your logbook, please, again, and give me some details of the operations, special duties operations you did with that squadron. 138.
Yes. My first I got written down is November the 21st. These are Stirling operations. Special ops, 24 containers in two drops in North Denmark. First reception did not react. All containers dropped on second reception. Diverted to Woodbridge on return. I don't know where that was. Then I've got November the 29th, special operations. One agent, seven containers, eight packages, Norway. Nine to ten tenths cloud to and over area op abandoned. January the 11th, special ops Norway, reached enemy coast with daylight too far advanced and returned DNCO, which means duty not carried out. Yeah. Don't give the times. So it was supposed to be night, but it would have been daylight. January the 12th, special ops Norway, eight containers and packages dropped. on reception at dawn. I returned. Judy carried out. Can't read the rest of it. I used to have temper.
Says Div Linton.
Diverted Linton, that would be. Thanks. Can't read
that. That's Linton, Linton Airfield in Yorkshire.
Linton on News in Yorkshire, yeah. February 21st, special ops, four agents, special packages, and containers.
Where was that to?
Norway. Reception between two hills on Frozen Lake. Found and dropped. Something in three runs, due to carried out.
Can't read it.
No.
Never mind. The next one is February the 23rd to Norway.
Yeah, special packages and containers. Reception.
Something
between two hills on Frozen, the same as if I found a drop. Can't read that.
In one run, does it say?
One run, yes, DCR. Diverted Middleton St. George. That's right. Special ops Denmark.
This is February the 26th.
February the 26th. Special packages and 24 containers on two receptions, northwest and north of Aalborg. Receptions found and dropped okay, DCR. March the 2nd, southwest Aalborg.
Two agents, I think it says.
Two agents.
23 containers?
23 containers, yes. On two receptions, unable to establish pinpoint after six attempts returned, DNCI. And March the 3rd, Special Ops Denmark, as above, reception found and dropped, DCR. Found and dropped, okay. We're getting on towards the end of the war now, aren't we? And that would be the end of the Special Ops on Stirlings. And as I remember, I had to take it back into the main force squadron. And that was February the 26th. And I've got... we moved to Tuddenham.
For bombing operation.
To convert onto Lancasters and for bombing operations in the main force. So, although my task had been to pull it out of Special Ops into the main force, we managed to do quite a few before.
Did you do many bombing operations in those last few weeks of the war?
Yes. The first one was April the 14th. Potsdam. And these would be daylight operations by then. April the 17th was Heligoland. Petley sunk the army. God knows why they wanted to do that.
Because it was right at the end, you mean?
Yes. Can't see what threat Heligoland was to anyone at that stage of the war. But they put, I forget how many, hundreds of aircraft on it, and the whole island was under smoke. April the 20th, Operations Regensburg. I remember that was the day that Formation bombing attack. By then, there wasn't a lot of opposition. And that must be the end. The war ended about then, didn't it?
Yes. You said that you didn't really believe in the bombing. Was that even at the time?
As the thing went on, obviously to begin with, we were hitting targets in the Hamdens. I mean, sometimes we were going in moonlight because we could find them, sometimes in cloud because of the defences. But then we were, as the defences got more effective, we were just trying to hit, you know, the target might be the post office or something, in other words, the middle of the town. And only bombing civilians, sort of thing. And I didn't like that.
What do you think of this controversy about the statue of Bomber Harris, which has been erected, and the objections of the Germans to it?
I have to confess that I never really liked Harris. He sort of relished in this power business, and as a person I didn't admire him. Of course, he believed entirely that he would win the war with bombing. And he was an arrogant sort of chap.
Did you meet him personally?
Well, yes, because I was, I had, between tours, I was up at headquarters of Bomber Command on the staff. So I used to meet him up there occasionally.
What was he like to work with?
I think he was...
What was he like to work with?
Pretty difficult. But I was, I didn't have to work directly under him, because my staff job at Bomber Command during the war then was a rather morbid one if you're between tours. It was analysis and recommendations regarding non-operational accidents and war and operational losses, in other words. One tried to analyse as much as possible what causes, what faults there were in training, what recommendations you could do to reduce the accident rate, and also to reduce the casualty rate and the operational flying. And as there were quite a lot going on at the time, your desk every morning was... series of sort of harrowing tales of accidents, and and then one had to try and divulge some sort of it was very interesting, because we had a thing called a Hollerith machine, which was sort of was a manual operation with punch holes in it, so you could sort of put all your cards in and tip a few things and come out. Most accidents were left-handed pilots on Tuesdays or something like that. So you could draw some conclusions from a mass input, which you would never find from an individual studying of an accident. The beginning of the computer, and if we had computers, we could find some trends very quickly. So it was very interesting work in that respect, but a bit depressing. Except, I suppose there was some progress in it. We managed to cut down a few casualties somewhat.
But in what way was Arthur Harris difficult to work for?
He'd have a bit of a temper, and he'd tell people to get out of his office and things like that. If he got something from him and she didn't like, he'd chuck it out of the window. Somewhat of an explosive character.
Did you suffer from that personally?
No, I never did.
What other?
I really met him more. We had, of course, to man the ops room day and night, and this was a duty for all staff officers. And I used to meet him a lot down in the ops room, when there were operations going on, or whenever he'd come down. And it was a duty for all staff officers above a certain rank to keep the option man. So around down there, I used to meet him quite often. But rarely, it wouldn't be in relation to my job as on this accidents business. I can't remember. I probably did go in and see him occasionally about it, but I can't remember anything particularly memorable about it.
What other characters were there at Headquarters Bomber Command who stick out in mind?
None, really. There must have been, but I can't remember a lot of that. It's very easy to mix up because I was at Bomber Command Headquarters after the war, and you know, one tends to think of both, you know.
But what were?
But at that time, I can't really now remember particularly important people who.
Were Don Bennett or Ralph Cochran ever in there?
Oh, yes. Both Cochran and Bennett.
As visitors?
Well, I remember Bennett going up when he was a very young officer, being made AOC of the group, in a Pathfinder group. And I remember seeing him then. But nothing particular.
Just one thing that we've missed out. You were telling me that you usually carried carrier pigeons with you in Bomber Command.
We always carried two carrier pigeons. I think it was always two, both in the main force and with the cloak and dagger, with the special duties.
What was the idea of that?
And I think the idea was if you were shot down, somehow the pigeons wouldn't become roast chicken and they'd fly home. Or the rear gunner, I think it was, or the mid-upper gunner, it was his responsibility for them. And if there was a chance, he'd let them off. I think it was more if you force-landed, then you were able to force-land without doing too much damage, and you had a couple of pigeons which you put messages on and off they went. I think that was the function of them. On the special duties, as I remember, I think we always dropped some pigeons with the agents, but I wouldn't like to swear to that. We certainly carried them.